Hi there, Ben Avery here. This episode of Strangers and Aliens is part two of our conversation about our favorite captains from Star Trek. If you haven't listened to part one yet, that's okay. You won't be lost listening to this episode. But I do encourage you to go ahead and listen to part one. We had a lot of fun recording it, and we think you'll have some fun listening to it. But for now, here's part two.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God?
The very first thing that God did was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
So, we've talked about acting and crews and ships and all that stuff, but now we need to get to the nitty-gritty, which is the captains themselves, their command style, their characters, all of that. And I know that we're pretty obvious. You're Kirk, I'm Picard. Steve cannot hide the fact that he's a closet Kirk fan, but it's his role to fight for the other captains. So, Ben, why don't you start off? What do you think makes Kirk stand out?
See, what I wrote down actually for notes is I wrote down Kirk versus Picard. You have this idea with Kirk. He's just more about instinct. And Picard, and this isn't a bad thing actually, but is more about intellect. And Kirk is more intuition, and Picard is more introspection. And Kirk is brash. Picard is thoughtful. And Kirk is a product of the 60s. And Picard is a product of 1980s Roddenberry sci-fi. And Kirk's weakness is he loves women, and Picard's weakness is he hates children. You know, but it's just, you can see between the two characters, there's this kind of change in ideals. And for me, I look at Kirk and he's a man's man, you know, and he's not perfect and he's a womanizer, and that's obviously a problem, you know, but there's a lot in Kirk that's I would emulate or wanted to emulate as a child, especially. And that might be where my bias comes from. With Picard, he is a good leader, and you know, he's thoughtful and he is wanting to make the right choice every time. I just find it interesting. Like I was thinking today, what would happen if Picard was the captain in one episode of the original series and Kirk was the captain in an episode of like Next Generation? So like what would happen if Picard had to choose about, that paradise planet where they worshipped the machine that had a dragon head.
Right.
You know, yeah. And Kirk, he broke the prime directive. No question about it. He broke it because what he was doing was right, you know?
Right.
And I don't know if Picard would have done that. It led to some meatier episodes in some ways for Picard where he had to decide, do I let this little girl that Data is writing letters to, sending emails to, do I let her die? Or do we violate the prime directive?
Right.
You know, and I like the way, you know, Kirk is take action, take charge. And these things I'm saying about Picard, they aren't necessarily weaknesses that I don't like about him. I do like these things about him. It's just that's what appeals more to me about Kirk is the way he would do things rather than Picard.
On that level, just speaking on that particular point, I think you're somewhat right in the comparisons. Although the reason why I would pick Picard is because if I were on a crew, I would rather take Picard's leadership over Kirk's because, well, every series, if you're wearing red and you're with Kirk, you die.
Because, and you know you're safe in red on Next Generation because that's the color that Picard is wearing.
Right, but it's from a leadership perspective, I would say that's one of the weaknesses of Kirk. He acts sometimes before he thinks and he plays poker, you know.
What do you mean sometimes?
All the time. And
I think it's more he acts as he thinks.
Let me finish. But I think he acts and it costs his crew. And here's another point. Picard was Kirk when he was younger. If you look at the shows where it shows Picard being young, he was brash, instinctive. He was Captain Kirk until he got stabbed in the heart. And then things changed. His behavior changed. Whenever you look at Picard in the past, before those instances, you get the impression that he was very much just exactly like Kirk. You know, a good portion of my education is in leadership. And when I look at leaders that I love to learn from, and I have kind of a list of leaders, the one fictional leader that I always look to is Picard. Because when you look at qualities of solid leaders, I felt that Picard displayed them far more. As a leader, if you're on Kirk's side, it's pretty much Kirk making the decisions. He doesn't really empower you. And if you know anything about leadership, leaders like that, those situations, those companies or organizations don't last very long. Picard actually empowered his leaders, and he would be someone I would love to work with, because once there's trust and he knows you, he'll trust that you'll make those decisions. Of course, he'll come in and, you know, when he needs to. But to me, on a leadership basis, it's not even close that Picard is a far better leader. If they were both real in the real world,
right,
Picard would be far the better leader, in my opinion.
It seems to me as though Kirk is much better at, like, jumping into something. If something goes wrong and people start dying and stuff, he can dig himself out of there and make it, you know, put a shine on that thing. With Picard, it's a much metered out, you know, we're going to check it out. We're going to, you know, and then obviously, because it's a TV show, bad things happen and people do die. But I think it's more in spite of the effort and the work that was put in beforehand. And with Kirk, I think it's more of, maybe not because of his jumping into it, but I think that if he had more of the mind of Picard, there wouldn't be that red shirt syndrome.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I disagree with the red shirt syndrome, the way you're talking about it, though, in that I think it's more the red shirts die at the beginning when you find out what the problem is.
Not always.
More so than they die in the middle when Kirk's plan is going horribly wrong because he's such a, you know, awful guy who's not thinking ahead of time. I think once he starts doing what he's going to do to solve the problem, the red shirts stop dying.
But my point would be that what I would argue there is that he would not have sent them into that position if he had thought it out as much as Picard had.
Yeah.
So
I would say that Picard has every bit of the bravado that Kirk has. I think he just has another level of maturity, of mediator, of intelligence.
Well, yeah, let's talk maturity, because how old is Picard? When he's in charge of the Enterprise, how old is he?
Like 100, isn't he? No, I'm serious. I mean,
he's as old as he is as a... No.
He's in his 40s?
Well, he's as old as he was when he's... I mean, he's as old as the actor was.
Yeah, 40s or 50s.
I would say he's in his 50s probably. And meanwhile, Captain Kirk, you know, is in his early 30s.
Which actually leads itself to one of my primary points, is Picard, being as Patrick Stewart, as old as he was in far better shape than Kirk in his girdle.
Well, let's get into that later, because that's a question that I have for you guys.
Well, that's probably, we're talking about Picard versus Kirk. I mean, do you remember when Picard got, you know, and he was being tortured? I'm sitting there going, man, this guy's pretty built for an old guy.
Oh, forget the torture. Remember when he's climbing, you know, tubes in First Contact to fight the Borg?
Yes.
And he's wearing his tank top.
Yeah,
you're not gonna put Shatner in a tank top at that age.
When he takes charge of Enterprise D, let me do the math here. He's in his late 50s.
Okay.
In the chronology of the show.
Okay.
And that's about the time, you know, the Star Trek movies are happening for Kirk. You know, so that's where he's fighting Klingon on the Genesis planet and.
I will say this.
And you laugh when Shatner does it. When Shatner dives across the room to save the president from being shot by a sniper, you know that that's a guy in a fat suit, a stuntman in a fat suit. There's no way that's him. But when Picard is climbing those tubes or whatever, you believe it. You go with it.
Yeah. On a personal note, one of the reasons why I choose Picard over Kirk is because I feel like you get to know Picard more. I feel like his character has a deeper, you know, with his battle with the Borg, you get to see a captain like you've never seen before ever in a Star Trek universe, because he was basically, I mean, they kind of, you know, I think they even make reference to that he was like even almost abused, like sexually abused, because he was completely and utterly violated when he was made part of the Borg. You get to see Picard afterwards, after all of it happens, and he's a different man. And that's the actual episode that you're talking about, Ben, when he goes home and gets in a fight with his brother.
Yeah.
You see that, where they have this brotherly conflict, and then he breaks down because of the weight of which he's had to deal with. And so, and then not just that episode, but also the episode where he basically lives an entire life, where he has a family, he has children.
The inner light,
he has children. So you get a chance to know Picard on a much more personal level. And you get there and you see, wait a minute, Picard isn't just this awesome captain who can kick tail. He is a good father. He is a good husband. He is a person. He's real. Whereas at Kirk, I don't know if you ever get to that point, as much at least, where you sit there and go, he's real. So for me, it's a long mile Picard, because you get to see a fuller picture of Picard than Kirk.
I disagree a little bit with what you're saying. Like when you look at like the inner light, where you say he's a good father because, and you're getting to know him, some of that you don't know if that's what he would have chosen or if that was just what was programmed for him to experience. That was a, you know.
No, but you.
But when you get into Generations, that's where you see his one regret. His one regret is he didn't have that family that that his brother had. And then you also see the loss of his nephew, who is the one child that he actually had some sort of connection with. Because his connection with Wesley didn't happen when Wesley was a child.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's a deeper character arc for Picard. There is one for Kirk. The difference is, again, a product of the time, because you know, Star Trek episodes coming out in the 60s, it had to be done in one. And at the end of the episode, the characters had to be back in the same place they were at the beginning of the episode, because right. When you tune in week to week, there's no way, if you miss an episode, you missed it. It's gone, you know. And with Next Generation, that's when syndication was really coming into play. And so if you missed an episode, it was okay. Although they still had the done in one, you know, we're going to get you back right where you were. And they had to do that episode with Picard going home so that he could deal with what happened, because it's so traumatic that if they just ignored it, it wouldn't have worked at all. But the thing with Kirk is, in the movies, that's where you see an actual character arc for him, where you see him going from being the cold warrior who is a womanizer to, you know, in the 60s to being the, he finds out that his womanizing ways had a consequence. He has a son, and his wife, or his, not his wife, but his, the woman he had the son with, she didn't even want him to know, because she didn't want his son to be like the father.
Which to me speaks to Kirk's character.
It speaks to him as a father for sure. Like as a father figure.
Well, yeah, but she didn't want him to be like Kirk, which means Kirk outside of the captain's chair is kind of a jerk. Kirk the jerk.
And then you have him dealing with that consequence and having to figure out what am I going to do about this. And then he loses his son. And then you have this whole thing. Basically, his whole character arc is he is a hero who fights the Klingons. And in The Undiscovered Country, which is the best of the last movies, you know, as far as, you know, Generations, as far as being Kirk's last movie, it's not a good last movie for Kirk. But The Undiscovered Country is a good send-off for the crew. And with that, he has to come to terms with the fact that the Klingons, the war is over. And what is there left for him to do and to be? And coinciding with the fall of the, you know, the wall and everything like that, with the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War. And, you know, we're making peace with the Russians, and so they're making this movie about peace with the Klingons. And you see his character arc, you know, he's saying, I don't forgive them. They killed my son, and I fought them all my life. What am I supposed to be? And so he has an interesting character arc, but I agree, it doesn't go as deep as Picard's might go.
That takes me back to Picard in the movie's First Contact. You know, his character arc with the Borg continues because, and that's a strong premise, is he just can't get over it. I mean, there are some things still going on in him. And so I think on that level, Picard is just a more fascinating character, a more relatable character, a more real character.
The only problem, and this is not just a Picard problem, this is a Kirk problem too. Once they've taken Kirk and put him through the Undiscovered Country, where he deals with his unresolved issues, they do the next movie with him. And what are you going to do with him? He's dealt with his baggage. And with Picard, after he's dealt with his Borg baggage, where do you go with him? There's not a lot you can do.
Well, if you've got good writers, you can do other things. I mean, there's, that's where you have to have, like, people willing, for instance, you know, after First Contact, what I would have done to keep the series franchise going is I would have killed off one of the main characters in a two-parter afterwards, you know, one of the main characters, whoever that would have been, maybe even
Wash.
Will Wheaton's character.
What? And the most beloved character in the Star Trek mythos, you would kill him off?
Yeah, why not? I actually loved him. I loved him growing up. I thought he was one of the reasons I watched the show. I was such a big Wesley Crusher fan. And again, the Kirk thing, it's hard. First of all, I love the original series. I love Kirk. But his constant sleeping around just, to me, makes Kirk a little icky, to be honest.
A little.
I mean, he would sleep with anything.
Well, but what's worse, though, because you have Riker doing the same thing when his former lover is on board with him.
Yeah, but this
that's
isn't...
how liberated that culture like, is, though. That's the thing.
But that's not Picard. That's Riker.
Yeah, and with Picard, whenever anything would happen, I always felt icky. I'm just like, oh. Yeah. You chose that one?
I would disagree with the inner light because there was some programmed in there, but he still reacted to those children. He had the wife. Once he bought into it, he had relations. They had kids, and he treated them like real kids. So I just to me, I would much rather serve on Picard's team than Kirk's team because Picard, he would sit there and go, "Hey, guys, this is what's going on. What do you think?" Kirk's like, "I'm going to make this decision." And most leaders that I see who are like that, it ends up badly.
I don't agree necessarily with that either, though. I mean, you've got those moments around the table where he's looking for options from his crew. I mean, he looks to Spock to say, "What do we do here?
Spock,
what do we do?"
When was the last time when he go, "Hey, Sulu or Chekhov, what do you think?"
Well, like, maybe not Sulu or Chekhov, but Scotty.
Yeah.
I mean, with Scotty, a lot of the thing with Scotty was he was pushing Scotty to do better.
Yes.
But at the same time, if it's something that he needs an engineer's perspective, Scotty, what do we do?
And but Captain Kirk never said, "You are the finest crew in the fleet." He said, "I am so amazing and I have wonderful hair."
Because he bought it yesterday. And, but I think he did say something about them being the finest crew. But it doesn't
probably
matter.
After he had 7 book deals and he did his photo shoot and anyway. So, and that's Kirk's character, not William Shatner. I love William Shatner to death.
So, okay, well, we talked character. Let's talk series then. Let's talk series. What is the best series? And I think, you know, Deep Space Nine has a lot going for it. Voyager and Enterprise, I understand, got really good at the end.
Yeah.
But like I said, it lost me. And so I didn't get into it. Or back into it to see what it was like at the end. I'm going to go back to it now because it's on Netflix. But
I will say this: I think the biggest contribution of the original series, obviously, it launched everything. But the biggest in my mind, you know, as a professor of where I actually teach about this stuff, one of the biggest contributions was the cultural impact of the original series. It did shows that were relevant to the topics at hand. It dealt with, it brought in Uhura as a main equal African-American woman, which was huge. It was not popular at the time. And you can't take away from, because that was risky at the time. It was the first interracial kiss. of on television. So I'll give the original series props in that regard. But when it comes to the best series, I'll make the same arguments. I feel like The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine had a much fuller, deeper character storylines than the original series. So for that reason, I would place those two ahead of the original series.
What are you, Steve?
What's the actual question?
Well, we're comparing the series now. What's
just
your,
the actual series
itself? Yeah, the TV series, the five of them.
I'd probably have to go with Next Generation, but because, again, I mean, because it's built on the original series, and because it's built on the things that were coming out at the time, where you had the year-long story arc and you had the cliffhangers that, you know, the cliffhangers that brought you through the whole summer. I mean, I remember when I was working at a place, and we would be watching the show individually, the guys, and then would be like, did you see how it ended? How can they do that? And for the next like 5 months, we would be talking about, you know, oh no, I think this is going to happen. Oh no, no, he's going to do this. Oh no, they're going to kill him off. And it was this real cool feeling to it, because you had no idea. You were going through it at the time. It's not like you're watching it on discs. And even the original Star Trek, I was too young to appreciate that except in reruns. So you already knew how many episodes, you know, all this stuff. But as you're going through, how they caught your attention, caught your imagination, and held it over months. And so the first episode, after the first couple of seasons, the first episode coming into each series was this landmark event. It's like, what are you doing tonight? Are you kidding? Are you insane? There's nothing else to do. We're watching Star Trek. You know, there's nothing else on TV. They shut every other channel down. It's only Star Trek. Didn't you know? And it was just that cool, that type of a feel to it, going through it at the time. So, you know, because they had the 7 years, because they had the ability to do that, to progress from year to year on cliffhangers, they had the ability to do arcs. I think it was a stronger series. The way they did it was just mimicked with the other series, for good and for bad. I mean, you know, it was what it was, but it was really set up. It was really knocked out of the ballpark by Next Generation.
If I had answered this question 3 months ago, it would have been a different answer. Wow. Now I have two answers to give, and one is just based on just how good is the series.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm thinking Deep Space Nine is one of the finest science fiction series ever. It's just a really good start to finish. And, you know, they made it up some of it as they went along. Some of it you can tell they were trying to get to when they got to the end. And some of it was halfway through they realized, okay, what are we going to do to up the ante? Right. And to up the ante, not just for ourselves, but from, like, Next Generation. Right. Voyager, every once in a while they had some good episodes. But for the most part, if it's on, I'd watch it, but generally speaking, it's never on, so I don't even think about it anymore. And Enterprise, I want to go back and revisit just because of what people I've heard people saying. But Deep Space Nine is fine, fine, fine television.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to rewatchability, it's original series for me all the way, because original series, I can sit down and just enjoy. My problem with Next Generation is that so much of it is, to me, so dry. And so serious, and taking itself so seriously. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And there's some really good science fiction there. And when I was watching it as it was coming on, I think all three of us watched it as it aired. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
I mean, and that makes it special too, because like Steve was saying, at the end of the second season, when the Borg have Captain Picard and they've turned him into a Borg, and Commander Riker says fire.
Yeah.
And you're just, oh my goodness. And then all of a sudden, huge music score strikes up and to be continued.
I was so angry.
I'm so angry. But I don't know if there's any cliffhanger that's ever been able to match that ever.
But that's because with The Next Generation, it was the first time they've killed off a main character with Denise Crosby's character, who is Bing Crosby's niece, I believe, or great niece, or something like that. She's related. So with Generations, with The Next Generation, anything could go because they killed off a main character. You know, you don't know what's going on. And so, so like you just said, that cliffhanger, you really think there's a chance that they could really, maybe there's a contract issue. Maybe he just doesn't want to come back because he's that good. He better come back. I'm going to be really ticked off if
and you know, they wrote that without knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
They did not know what the next episode was going to be like. They hadn't planned out this amazing story arc. It was just, what's the craziest place we can go with this? And now, how do we get out of it?
And you know, one of the things I think that made that, in my opinion, made it so good is because Picard or Patrick Stewart actually worked hard to try to keep that crew together, because even, you know, the producers replaced the Doctor for the second or third season. I can't remember.
Right.
I think it was the second season.
Yeah, second.
And Picard really fought to bring back the Crusher character, Dr. Crusher. And he called personally because he wanted her back. Whereas you get the impression from the original crew that William Shatner, when he was younger, was not necessarily the easiest to work with. And for me, that also taints my opinion a little bit.
Yeah, but for me, you know, if I'm going to sit down and just turn on an episode, generally speaking, it's going to be original series. Now, there are some standouts in Next Generation that are some of the best episodes of television, you know, as far as science fiction goes. I mean, you have Yesterday's Enterprise, which is just an amazing time travel, multiple universe storyline, you know, and you get to see what happened to the Enterprise before Captain Picard's Enterprise, which is cool.
Yes.
You have some like that, but there's a lot of Next Generation episodes that just, they feel dry and they're not as exciting. And yeah, they probably have better concepts in some ways, and they might even have better writing, technically speaking, and better directing, and definitely better effects. But the original series, I enjoy myself more watching that.
Yeah.
But Next Generation, I enjoyed myself the first time through because it was all new. Yeah. And I'm experiencing it, and I'm watching it every week, and I'm recording episodes and rewatching some of them, you know, when I was in high school and everything, because this is really enjoyable. But Deep Space Nine, man, they have cool science fiction things going on that are done in one episode, and then they have this arc of the war, and just, oh my goodness, I just, 3 months ago, I wouldn't have said that, but...
Yeah. I'm with you on the Deep Space Nine. I really enjoyed Deep Space Nine. Like I said, I'm in the middle of watching again all the way through. But the thing about The Next Generation is that it started really well with the Q episode. It was like, wow, this is interesting. It had powerful middle episodes like the Borg in the middle. And then the way it ended, and I don't want to talk too much about all the endings because as I'm watching all the way through, I don't want it to be ruined again because I try to intentionally forget everything so I can try to watch it for the first time again. But I felt like the Next Generation had one of the best endings of any, probably any Trek, but definitely, well, maybe even one of my favorite endings of all shows. I mean, it was just...
Just say it, yeah, because it's true.
Yeah, it was just one of the... Yeah. You know, a lot of times, like I was a huge fan of Lost. But the ending was a bit of a clunker. And with a show like this, that you have such a fan interest, how you end it is actually kind of important.
And look at Deep Space Nine. I'm not going to get into any specifics here. But the ending of Deep Space Nine was ending a story arc. I mean, multiple episodes led to that ending. The ending of Next Generation was basically, we're going to wrap up these characters on the small screen. And so it's a part two to the first episode, you know, and you can, if you cherry pick some, you know, Next Generation episodes, you get some of the best stuff ever. And that finale is amazing because it follows a through line from that first episode. And I actually have the DVD set. That's the Fan Collective Best of Q. and it's just all Q episodes. That's all there is. Mm-hmm. The one disappointment is they didn't include the Squire of Gothos episode from the original series, which would have been cool, but they never actually, you know, in on the screen ever said, you know, the Squire of Gothos was like, was a Q, although to me he should have been. But I mean, it's, there's some really good Q episodes. There's some also, you know, some clunkers, like the Deep Space Nine Q episode, which didn't, Q needs to be with Picard. And Q and Picard are awesome foils for each other.
Oh, yeah. And that, I think that Q would have destroyed Kirk right off the bat, but he found Picard very interesting.
I think Q would have enjoyed Picard, or enjoyed Kirk, but it would have been similar to the feeling you got when Q was with Sisko, where it's just like, hey, I knock you down and you get back up again. Great. But with Picard, it was, you and me, there's something more there. Let's hang out. You know,
I will be interested, Ben, when, after you watch all the way through Enterprise, because I think you might view that differently when it's all said and done.
I might, because I've heard there's some story arc stuff going on that's really interesting. And
yeah,
I did see the final episode, but I didn't know really what was going on because they were wrapping up storylines that I didn't understand.
Well, I think that throughout this whole discussion, I think it's been very clearly stated that Picard is superior to Kirk, and so then we could just end the show.
I did want to do a lightning round of some questions here, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's just do this, okay? We're going to do a few scenarios. Let me know what you think, all right?
All right.
First of all, let's put Kirk and Picard in battle in their prime, hand-to-hand. Who's going to win?
Oh, Picard, hands down.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, because Captain Kirk has that sidekick where he jumps and leaps in the air and kicks you in the chest and falls to the ground.
No, but...
And then has to get up really quickly.
I just saw a montage of Captain Kirk fighting, and it's really humorous. You know how you're saying when Captain Kirk dives across the floor, you know it's a padded extra or stuntman. Well, it kind of feels the same way because it's not. I mean, obviously, it's a product of the times. But, I mean, you know, Picard took on big Klingons, not the miniature-sized Klingons of the original series. So I would take Picard any day in a hand-to-hand combat when he's old, let alone in his prime.
Well, that was what I was going to say is Kirk and Picard in their last Trek appearance, hand-to-hand combat. So this is Kirk in Generations and Picard in Nemesis. And there's no question. Kirk has so much padding that Picard couldn't even hurt him. And there's just...
Nice.
Oy. All right, so we'll go ahead.
I was going to say, but Kirk couldn't move either. Picard would just dance around him.
But he would tire himself out, and then when he tired himself out, Kirk would put his foot on his chest.
What'd you say?
He would tire himself out, and then after he tired himself out and fell on the ground, Kirk would put his foot on his chest and climb
it. Oh, no. Have you seen his biceps and how cut that guy is? You know his cardio is better. He won't
Picard,
get tired
oh my
out.
Goodness. Patrick Stewart is in amazing shape, and I am jealous of Patrick Stewart's shape.
I know.
And, you know, William Shatner, he's always had to fight with his weight, and part of that, I think, is just because he deals with, he just imbibes life or whatever and doesn't worry too much unless he's on screen. And, you know, they had him in a girdle in the original series. Yes, they did. And
did you guys know one of the worst fights on television history is when Kirk fights that green lizard?
The Gorn.
On the desert planet? Yeah, the Gorn. I'm like, come on.
My son loved that.
It was ridiculously bad. It's like him fighting Barney.
But this is why it's rewatchable. This is why I can go back and watch that and with my son. And my son can appreciate it for what it is. That's the other cool thing is my son, he can watch Godzilla with me. And let's face it, the Kirk versus Gorn battle, that's a Godzilla movie level of fighting.
That was ridiculous.
I'll kill you.
What's your next question?
Well, I was going to say,
violate the Prime Directive.
And there's,
hey, on that note, Picard did violate the Prime Directive from time to time.
He did, but he put a lot of thought into it. You know, he struggled.
Because he could look at history and go, man, Kirk was a cool guy, but he ruined so many lives and civilizations.
Well, there's the line in Deep Space Nine when the the time police come to visit Sisko when he went back to the Tribbles, and he went back and he visited Jim Kirk, and everyone's like, oh, don't tell us about 14 temporal directive violations. It's just like Kirk has this reputation even 120 years after he's done all of this. Okay. So, and this is something, there's not even a question here. Kirk and Picard meet in battle in their first ships. Who's going to win? There's no question there.
Yeah. Picard's going to destroy them.
Because the Enterprise is just so much bigger when Picard had it.
Yeah.
But, I do think that the battle between Kirk and Picard would go differently than a lot of people think. And I might have said this already to you guys, but this is how I think a battle between Kirk and Picard would go. Let's give them both the same ship. It's a ship they're unfamiliar with, and they've got their normal crew. They come to, you know, fight each other.
Wait. Is Kirk's crew still just pushing buttons and pulling levers?
Kirk's crew is his usual crew. Okay. Picard's crew is his usual crew. When they meet to go to battle, Picard... This is what Picard would do. He would open hailing frequencies, and Kirk would try to. He didn't always succeed, but he would do it. And Picard would say, okay, let's talk. And Kirk would say, okay, let's talk. Because Kirk's not completely irrational.
Right.
You know, I mean, and they'd end up realizing that they have a lot more in common than they have not in common. And then it would be a really boring episode.
Well,
let's say they have to fight. Who's going to win?
I actually see them fighting, but then realizing that they're better together, and then going and fighting the people who pit them together. You know, so if they had to fight each other, I think Picard would win because he's smarter. I mean, I think Picard's a smarter, and also if you're in that type of situation, you have to rely on your crew more. And because Picard is such, in my opinion, a better leader, his workers, so to speak, are more empowered to do their job well, I think they work better than in a situation where everything's dependent purely on the captain. So in my mind, Picard has the better crew, the smarter captain, the less impulsive, so I think he wins.
And I think he loses for those same exact reasons. Even the better crew. I'm going to put that out there. He has the better crew, so he loses. That's how irrational I am about it. all right, so this one's a little more for fun. Kirk versus the Borg. Would he be able to do what Picard was able to do?
I don't know. I think.
And that, I guess what we're doing is we're kind of putting him in one of two situations. One situation being he's turned into a Borg, and his crew has to get him out. And I think with Spock, it would be possible. Spock and McCoy would be possible. But the other situation is they've gone back into the past, and they're going to stop, you know, spaceflight and Vulcans from ever meeting humans. Would Kirk be able to do – would he be able to take them on?
I think that the Borg is one of the greatest bad guys of – modern television, because they're just freaky. The whole concept of assimilation, no rationale. I remember watching that thinking, you know, being worried. I mean, you're used to seeing bad guys on Star Trek, but this was something different. This was very, very, very different.
And you couldn't reason with it, which is Picard's main thing, is trying to reason with people.
Right. And so I think, you know, but he's also a fighter. I mean, he got into a lot of battles. In fact, he got into more battles than Kirk did.
Because there's more episodes.
Well, of course, but still.
But he did fight, and he stood up to them.
Yeah.
And so, and, I mean, yeah, he can't reason with them, but that doesn't mean he can't do anything. I'm not saying
I don't know. A lot of it comes down to the writers. But the truth is with Kirk's, a lot of his is his bravado. And I think that if the Borg thing would have happened to him, I think it would have almost broken him a little bit. It would have definitely have changed him into a Kirk very, very different than what we've known, and maybe a little bit more like Picard, because he would have finally had that big encounter. You know, Picard had one when he was stabbed and almost died. I think only one of two options would have happened. If he could have gotten away from the Borg being that violated, I see only three scenarios. One is he would have completely cracked from the humiliation and the pain. Two, he could have had a Picard-like revelation, and it would have changed him. He would have been a completely different Kirk, and I think more like Picard. Or three, he would have been so embittered with anger that he would have not only gone on a mission to kill all the red shirts, but everybody else and himself. With his type of personality makeup, I think those are the only three options, and I don't know which one of those are more likely.
Well, and you just described what Picard almost did.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so embittered that he was willing to risk and sacrifice everyone.
Yeah.
To take down this enemy.
And if Kirk would have gone through all that, I probably would have liked him more as a captain, because I would have got to know more of how he responded to adversity.
Well, but he did go through a character arc like that, though. I mean, he's the one who can't. There is no such thing as a no-win situation. And then he loses his best friend. And then in the process of getting his best friend back, he loses his son and his home. Because let's face it, these starships, they're homes. That's what they represent. They represent your home. He loses his son and his home.
Well, you're back on that debate, though. But what do you think? What do you think would have happened with Kirk? Do you think he would have had this revelation like Picard? Do you think he would have lost it? Or do you think he would have been completely broken?
I think he would have been broken. I think he would have been broken, and that would have been part of the revelation. And the revelation wouldn't have been the same as Picard's necessarily. It would have been more of a, you know, what am I doing when I fight these people? When I go up against something like the Borg, what am I really doing? Am I facing a no-win situation, or am I helping my fellow man? You know, and I think that it would be something, it'd be a different kind. And again, it comes down to the writers. So this is you and I as writers now.
Right.
Kind of making up something, but.
I think that Picard's background of almost dying before, that he was already tempered a little bit, helped prepare him for that situation. But, you know, in my mind, the Borg is the greatest villain. Some could argue Q. Q's good, but it's hard to beat him. And both of those are Next Generation bad guys. So in my mind, usually in writing, your good guy is only as good as your strong guy. That's why a lot of Christian movies fail, because the bad guys are very watered down. And so to me, that's one of the reasons Picard shines among everyone else, because he had two of the greatest villains in Star Trek history going at him. So
let's ask this question then for you and Steve and me, but what can we learn from these guys? All right, we look at Picard and we look at Kirk, and Jace, this can be either guy or both guys, or negative or positive.
Right.
What can we learn from these guys, and why do we like watching these guys?
Well, I know you should learn what not to do with Kirk when it comes to women. I mean, you can't tell me with all the aliens that he slept around with that he didn't have a few ASTDs, alien.
Right. This is a family show, remember?
Well, that's why it's a pro family values, in that it's you know, those are real issues, Steve. Those are real issues that,
yeah,
you know, in this culture, which we are moving from secularism into paganism, he's not a great role model in that way.
But don't you think that they would have had ways of counteracting any of those diseases at that time? I mean,
well, they couldn't fix blindness in Next Generation. There might be a few. There might be a. It just seems that no matter how far we advance medically, that there's still something there. So that's a negative on Kirk. But I think that his love for Spock, his love for Bones, speaks to friendship. Speaks to, I think that Kirk would probably be more likely to forget everything else to save them than some of the other captains. So I think that true friendship and loyalty is something that you can learn from Kirk. And from Picard, I think, to me, I would love to do a leadership study on Picard's leadership, because he, to me, is the best pure leader of all the fictional characters in the Trek world.
Even though he is largely unguided by biblical principles, or consciously guided by biblical principles.
Well, I'm talking about none of them are really guided by spiritual principles in the Trek universe.
Right.
So by the world that in which he lives in, which, in, you know, his value system is on the Prime Directive, so he if more people acted on their value system, there's a lot of Christians who say they're Christians and don't live like they're Christians. So from that perspective, you know, you look at Picard as live what you believe, then I think it's a valuable if you believe the right things.
And even though he doesn't believe the right thing, you still think it's a valuable lesson to learn.
From his leadership perspective, absolutely. I don't think it's holistic. I don't think he's the answer to all leadership, but we're talking about Trek world, absolutely. As far as pure leadership minus, I mean, that's the whole problem with the Trek world anyways. I mean, Gene Roddenberry, he thought that, you know, Christianity was archaic. So, I mean, that's the issue with all of Trek.
And that's where you have Captain Picard saying the line that I remember just so vividly from when I was in high school of, these people have finally evolved past the need to believe in God. And
What episode is that in? Do you know?
That's in the one where they have the people who are screened and watching the Vulcan. It's like a Vulcan offshoot. And I can't remember exactly what the episode's title is, but they're watching these Vulcans who are early in their development. They haven't devoted themselves to logic, and so they could go, you know, toward the Vulcan way or the Romulan way or whatever. And they accidentally reveal themselves to them.
Yeah.
And so to fix the problem, because the Vulcans start worshiping them as gods and seeing them as gods because they're able to disappear and reappear. Right. And so they bring one of them up to their ship to see their world and see, you know, we are not gods. We are just like you. And that's where Picard, you know, as they're having the moral debate, which I find interesting, and this goes back to, Steve, to your Mr. Terrific thing. He's an atheist in the DC Comics universe.
Right,
you know,
right.
How can Captain Picard regularly have conversations with a god, you know, a flawed god in Q, but how can you regularly have conversations with this guy who is so far advanced that he is a god and not believe that there is the possibility, just the slight possibility, that there's something else that's even more developed and more powerful than Q would be.
Well, to me, that's less of a Picard thing and more of a writer for that particular episode.
And not just that episode, but the whole, you know, Roddenberry's worldview, you know.
Yeah, but there's but there's been other episodes that would contradict that one statement. And obviously Gene Roddenberry's overview, which is the main flaw, in my opinion, of Star Trek world. You know, in the original series, there was actually one where Spock references Jesus. And I thought that one was actually very interesting.
The bread and circuses, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
And that's just a quibble. It's not... I mean, it's me taking this idea that comes from the worldview of the writer and just really nitpicking on it. So yeah, so here's what I get out of this. And you talk about your leadership thing with Picard. There is... When I look at Picard and the way he tackles things... And I did that Kirk versus Picard, where Kirk is instinct versus Picard is intellect, and Kirk is intuition, and Picard is introspection. Picard, though, has a lot of that. He has instinct, intellect, intuition, and introspection. He does have all of that. And to say, you know, your leadership idea of doing the seminar or whatever, that's a great idea, and I think it totally flies and works. But I look at Kirk and what you can get from him, and I get his story arc from him. He's a womanizer and successful and basically, you know, the perfect 60s man or whatever you want to say. and then he's the no-win guy. He's the no-nonsense guy. He goes in, he loses his ship because he becomes an admiral. He decides to take it back because he's the only one who can save the Earth. And so he's going to be the captain. And then you have him lose Spock, and you have him lose his son, and you have him lose everything. I mean, his reason for being, and having to tackle and come to terms with that. And I see it as, in a lot of ways, just an example of humanity, you know, where you can have it all, but it's all a facade. You don't really have it all.
Yeah.
And when we look at Kirk and see him doing all these things, it's like so awesome. But then you kind of step back and say, well, yeah, it is awesome, but not quite as awesome as it should be.
You can make that same argument for Picard too, because he had everything, and yet he was alone at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they kind of hint that him and Dr. Crusher end up getting married, you know, but there's this thing that, you know, he has this stuff, but for two different reasons. Kirk womanizes and does all this stuff. Picard almost isolates himself.
Yeah, and Picard, he sees everything as duty. I mean, he's performing his duty as a Starfleet officer, and he sacrifices family for that. And with Kirk, he's doing everything for adventure, you know, but they're both sacrificing so much. And with Kirk, it comes to that point in the movies. Again, that's when you had people who weren't involved with Trek getting involved and saying, well, where can we take these characters to make it interesting for me who doesn't know anything about Star Trek? And so that's where you have movement in the character, where he's realizing, oh, my life as a womanizer, it really affected this woman's life.
Yeah.
Forever. And his life as an adventurer affected his son's death, which again affected, you know, the woman, the mother. And even though she's not on screen to react to it. And so, yeah, there's a lot there that I just like, well, I like watching Captain Kirk, but I also like seeing him at the end being brought down and realizing he doesn't have it all. And he doesn't, I mean, and he makes the realization. And that's the other cool thing that they let him do, is to say, yeah, I've lost my reason for being, so why should I be? Well, there's other things. And for us, we look at it and say, well, you need God. You know, I have a friend named Dave Slater who, he died a while ago, but I used to go see movies with him all the time. And he'd watch a movie and just be like, this movie is so different if these people just had God. Steve, did you have something to add to it?
Well, what I take away from Kirk and that the three characters there is to be a whole person, you sort of need to have those three aspects to you. If you're overly physical, if you're overly whatever, you're out of balance. And seeing that those three characters work in balance, and almost work as if they were one entity. That's what I take from that. Going into their personal lives, yes, obviously each of them have problems. You don't want to be like any of them. But taken as three together, you want to take that lesson and say, I want to be like that. I want to have that unity among my elements. That it comes out that way. With Picard, I think it's more of, and I say it in a good way because you can take it in a bad way, but control, and almost like a meekness where you give up parts of your power, you give up parts of your control because you have that much control, and you can let other people do their own thing and give them responsibilities and things and let them run their own little thing. It all comes back to you, but you're not controlling. You're not the autonomous one being that's ruling everything. But you have that power within you. You just let other people run their own thing, do their own thing, and use that and make a cohesive whole. And I think it's looking at the problems just two different ways. One is sort of how you look at yourself and how you put yourself into the world and into problems, and one is how you take your power and influence over whatever people are in your life, could be your family or your workplace or wherever, and how that works out, and how you don't take all the power yourself. You let it flow.
So I think we kind of had our last words with our lessons from these guys. You guys just want to say goodbye?
Did we figure out who won?
No, yeah, there's no winner.
Wait a minute. You guys, you just said, I kept a list, and Ben, you gave Picard on acting and on crew, and at the end of it, it comes down
to... I didn't give Picard on crew. Yeah, I like the original series crew more.
Originally, but when we gave the scenario of Picard and Kirk with their original crews, and you said, I'll give it to you. Picard has the best crew.
I didn't say that.
You did say that.
No, I did not.
Listen to it. You said it. You said it.
I did not.
Yes, you did. You said, I'll give you that. You said, I'll give you that. He has the best crew. So you
well,
just
I'm editing that out.
No, no.
If I said that, it's gone.
No, because gone. So that basically totally lends itself to Picard being the superior captain.
Well, I'd still rather watch the original series.
So. That might be true, but just because you're biased doesn't mean you have to be completely unobjective.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, is that your goodbye, Jace, there?
Picard, 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 Picard. Oh, yeah, Picard.
And Steve?
Kirk the jerk, Kirk the jerk, Kirk the jerk.
Well, in the immortal words of Christopher Pike, beep,
beep. Thanks for listening, everyone. Wait, Godspeed.
Steve, God bless you. Steve, this is a family show. Stop that beeping stuff.
Blame Christopher Pike.
Yeah.
Oy, all right. Godspeed.
You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Dr. Jace O'Neill, and Steve McDonald. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. We invite you to join the conversation by visiting our website, www.strangersandaliens.com, where you'll find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we are at Strange and Alien, or like us on our Facebook page. If you'd like to email us directly, our email is podcast@strangersandaliens.com. And once again, thanks for listening. Hey there, Ben again, chiming in from the future after we've recorded, and just have to say, listening back to it, I do not hear myself saying that I give the crew to Picard. I didn't do it, and I did not edit it out. I gave him the ship, but not the crew, so Dr. Jace, it's kind of unfair, because I'm editing the episode, and here I am adding the final word. So we'll address this later. Of course, our next episode will be about the Avengers, with a weekend of release episode about the Avengers. But until then, I do feel bad, so Dr. Jace, I'm going to give you the final word.
Picard, 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 Picard. Oh yeah, Picard. Kirk the jerk, Kirk the jerk, Kirk the jerk.